Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne on your blessed Shabbat, and we thank you and praise you and give you all glory as King of the universe and Creator of all things. And we just bless you for all the wonderful gifts you give us each and every week and providing us with shelter and food and clothing, health. We pray, Father, for those who suffer in this world. We pray your kingdom to come. And your will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And we pray and we ask that you would help those who suffer in this world. And we thank you for all you do in our life. We thank you for blessing your people. And we thank you, Father, for the faith you give us to get through these end times. So we pray now and we ask your spirit to guide and lead this study. And we put all things into your hands. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, we are up to chapter 2, correspondence course chapter 2, what is real repentance? And I think as we're heading toward Passover now, you know, we're less than a month away now. It's good that we actually are able to go through some of these things. And probably I will not go in order up until Passover because I want to do maybe some of the lessons we have on Passover and unleavened bread and those things. But at least for this week, which is very good for Passover, what is real repentance? And probably next week, we'll still do lesson 2 and lesson 3. So, what is real repentance? I want to start in Romans 3 and verse 10. It says, according to it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is not one understanding, there is not one seeking Yahweh. All turned away, they became worthless together, not one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened, they use deceit with their tongues, the poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. And then if we drop down to verse 23... for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. And it amazes me, it always has for years, how when you look in the world and you look at a lifespan, it's not very long, you know, 60, 70 years. Some people are blessed to live 80 years, but it goes really, really fast. How the average human being on this planet never questions why they're born. They never question what is their purpose in this life. And they never seek Yahweh their whole life. And what amazes me even more is that believers, or so-called believers, but people that come to faith, that they believe in the Sabbath, and they might believe in the holy days, or whatever, or even the name of Yahweh, and they never, ever come to real repentance. And that's the core of what it is as a human being. This is the core of, if you don't get real repentance, nothing else matters. Absolutely nothing else. Well, I've said many times, what if, like Paul says in the love chapter, what if you knew all prophecy, that you knew the exact day that Yeshua is returning? What if you knew every single word in the Bible in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and English, and every other language possible? What if you were able to understand every single prophecy of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of the minor and major prophets? If you weren't going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, what would the purpose of it be? What good would it be to you to have all knowledge on earth if you're not in the kingdom of Yahweh? And this is the foundation, this is the ground zero, that without real repentance, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And it's not something, I remember one time years ago meeting a guy, he used to be in Church of God, I don't know where he was in when I met him, but he came to one of our meetings. And he was saying that you only repent once, you know, you repent at your baptism, you never repent again. Which was the craziest thought I could ever think of, because repentance, it's in what we call the Master's Prayer. We'll go over that later in the study. But it's something that we do every day of our life. It's something as a human being that we're never going to be perfected in this flesh. And it's something we have to come to grips with. And it is the motivating factor for humility. And if humility is lacking in a person's life, it's simply because they've never repented. Because there's no way on earth you could look into your inner soul and see how inept you are as a human being, like I'm just reading here in Romans 3, and then go and not have an ounce of humility in your life. It's that's why Yahweh's grace by definition will bring humility. And if you don't have humility, you don't have grace and you haven't repented. So this is an extremely important lesson, probably more important than any lesson we'll go over on anything, because without repentance, nothing else matters. And especially in the world we live in today, not only don't people know what repentance is, you never even hear it. We're in a time where in Christianity, forget what I went through 20, 30 years ago, coming into faith of, you know, the laws nailed to the cross. Today, you don't even, I mean, saying that somebody is a Christian or goes to a Christian church, it means absolutely zero. It means nothing. Considering the fact that close to 60% of congregations and people now believe in homosexuality, even within Christianity. So there are no rules, there are no standards, and there certainly isn't any repentance. So it's a very important lesson. And beginning with Adam and Eve, every human being except Yeshua Messiah has walked contrary to Elohim's way of life. We have all contributed our share of this world's sins. We have all performed the works of the flesh, fulfilling the inordinate desires of our minds and bodies, because we have all walked according to the course of this world set by the prince of the power of the airwaves, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. So just like I'm reading here, it's not that 50% of the people haven't sinned, or 30% of the people, or 10%, or even 1%, or even 1,000th of 1%, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So except for Yeshua Messiah, who came to earth as a human being for 30 some odd years and was perfect, no other human being ever, from Adam till today, in the 60, 70 billion people that have walked this planet, have not sinned. Every human being, male, female, whatever, every human being ever born has sinned and falls short of the glory of Yahweh. And since all human beings have sinned, all have therefore earned the penalty of sin, which is death. So it's another thing we'll see here today, at least in part, that death comes by, not by the Torah, by keeping the Torah. Death comes by breaking the Torah. Death comes by sin. And the definition of sin, 1 John 3:4, is the breaking of the Torah. So there is no penalty for obedience. There is no penalty for righteousness' sake. There is no penalty for doing the right thing. There are only penalties for sin, which is the breaking of the Torah. In Romans 6, 21 and then 23, what fruit did you have in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, for the wages of sin is death. And it's a very interesting scripture. We're going to get into Romans 6 a little bit later in the study, because it's foundation for a believer when you come to faith, and the change, the transformation from your corrupted human nature into the mind of Messiah. But this is very interesting in verse 21, where it says, what fruit did you have in the things you are now ashamed? And I think this is the problem with many people. And I say this today, that's shocking to me. I would have never thought this 20 or 30 years ago, that at least 50% of the people being baptized today, at least 50%, never received the Holy Spirit because they've never repented, as we're going to see. Repentance is a prerequisite. You will not receive the Holy Spirit if you haven't repented. And repentance is not just a simple, I'm sorry, you know, it's not just a remorse for something you did. It's feeling sorry for what you are. It's understanding your corrupted nature from the core of what you are, that to the core of every single one of us, we are evil, that the only thing good about us is Yahweh's Spirit that comes and transforms our life. But it's interesting that it says, what fruit did you have in the things you're now ashamed? That I don't believe people are ashamed today. I don't believe new people come into faith for the most part are ashamed at the things they did. And I don't believe most believers are. There's times I'll see believers that will actually be almost bragging about what they did in their former lives. And you know what? The Apostle Paul said it very clear. You know, I put those things behind, I look ahead. And unless there's something you did in your life that you're using as an example to tell someone privately to try to help them, you know, there's times maybe as a believer that there's somebody who's going through a certain sin or a certain thing and you're sharing with them, well, I had this and I overcame it. Fine. But why would we want to be talking about our past sins? These are things we should be ashamed of, like it says here. We should be ashamed of the things in our past. And it's not who we were before. It's what we're moving ahead. For the end of those things is death, for the wages of sin is death. But to get into that, another thing we have today that we never had to deal with this before is we're living in a world through the internet and social media and everything being in real time and people using the internet to find anything about anybody. Can you imagine that you could just go online and try to find things, especially in politics, but it's all over the place, that people try to find things about people's past and their backgrounds, violating the very code, ethic of you would think as a human being, not even respecting someone's privacy, trying to find out personal things of their background, you know, what they did 30, 40 years ago, what they did in high school, what they said in high school. You know, like I said, it was shocking 2 years ago when the Supreme Court justice, the highest court in United States, Babylon, which is the world leader of the world and the highest court, the justice going to that court, that his opponents who didn't want him there for one simple reason, because they want to keep the murdering of innocent children, to go back 40 years looking at what he said in the high school yearbook, you know, at 16, 17 years old, is just, it's pathetic and it's evil in Yahweh's eyes. It's absolutely evil. So this is what people have to deal with today. We have to deal with it as believers, but I feel bad for new people, because when you're new and you're just coming to faith and you have to deal with these things that people will go in your past or say things or put things on the internet about you. And it's something that Satan will get to people to make them think, oh, why even bother? You know, Yahweh's never going to forgive me. I can never get past this, but you can. Because Yahweh does forgive. Yahweh does put our sins, like it says in Psalm 103, from the east to the west. And if evil people don't, then they're going to pay that penalty on their judgment day. Because the end of the road is, 2 Corinthians 5:10, there will be a judgment day for every single human being on this planet. And either two things are going to happen on that judgment day. Either you've truly repented of your sins, and with tears in your eyes, you've accepted the shed blood of Yeshua and you've built a new life in him, and he'll welcome you into his kingdom. Or you're going to pay the penalty for those sins and you're going to go to the lake of fire. So it doesn't matter whether you're atheist, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Jewish. It doesn't matter what you are. Every single human being, there is no religion in Yahweh's eyes. Every human being will be there before his throne and is going to give an account. And one of those two things is going to happen. So this is the great part, that Yahweh, all he wants us to do is to change. He wants us to repent, which means to change direction. To literally, the word picture, the Hebrew word picture, is to destroy the path to the house, to leave nothing to go back to. He wants us to realize our former way of life led to nothing but death, and that there is a new way of life, though, that we could surrender our free will to him, that we could stop trying to do everything our way that only led to death, and that we could follow his judicial order, repent of our sins, and let his spirit, the mind of Messiah, let him put his spirit in us and let that spirit literally grow in us and have us become a new person. So those are the only two choices. All human beings who have not repented of their sins are on spiritual death row, awaiting execution of a justly deserved capital punishment. This penalty was earned simply by doing what comes naturally, sinning. You know, that's what happens. But in Yahweh's great mercy toward mankind, he provided a way in which we may avoid paying the ultimate penalty. And that's John 3:16. I know they overplay this and they use it at football games and hold it up in the end zone. But it's really the most awesome scripture that we can see, that Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that everyone believing into him, into Yeshua, should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is the will of Yahweh, that we believe into his son. That's the only way to get eternal life. It's not through lineage. There's not another way for Jewish people to get into the kingdom. There's not a way for the Muslim to backdoor some other way. Or there's one way to eternal life, and that's through the sinless sacrifice of the son of Yahweh, the eternal co-creator with Yahweh, who came to this world to die for our sins. That's it. There's no other way. So either you accept that and repent of your sins and accept his death for your death, because eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So either you accept that he died in your place, or the day will come that you will be there on that death row and you will pay that penalty. And we know it, that Yeshua says they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because it's not going to be a fun day when you have millions upon millions of people being thrown into the lake of fire. and wailing and screaming and pleading at that time. But then it's too late. Because, you know, like I say, there's nobody that doesn't get before the judge that isn't repentant, right? Because when they're before the judge and they're being sentenced, what do they say?
I am so...
What's that word? Sorry.
I am so sorry for what I did.
That's not repentance. That's somebody who has been... He's not sorry that he sinned. He's sorry he got caught. And it's somebody who's trying to, you know, fake his way through, to write something to the judge, to get a low. It's just going through the evil process that goes there. And that's not justice. Justice is where people repent of their sins. There's heartfelt repentance, there's tears, and there's restoration, which means if the person stole, he's giving back. And he's giving back whatever, 20% more, whatever. So Yahweh's way is not putting someone in a prison, locking them in a cage, you know, and having the taxpayer pay for them for the next 50 years of their life. No, Yahweh's way is restitution. It's taking somebody who did something wrong, having that person make the right by it, and changing, you know. And like I said, making restitution is part of repentance. So it's not just a simple, I'm sorry, but it's about making what was done right, what was done wrong to make it right. Acts 2 and verse 38 talks about repent, right? That's what it says. When they're asking Peter, what shall they do? Peter is telling them this great sermon on the first day of the first Shavuot, you know, first New Testament Shavuot. And then what happens? The people are pricked in their heart, verse 37, hearing their touch in the heart, and said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men, our brothers, what shall we do?" And what does Peter say? "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," or the Spirit of holiness. So he's telling them, repent and be baptized, like I say, and it's a total change of heart. It's not just feeling sorry for what you did, but feeling sorry for who you are. It's understanding how evil you are at the core of your being, and this should bring humility. It should bring humility when you realize how pathetically evil we all are. Luke 13 in verse 3 and verse 5 also, what does Yeshua say? "But if you do not repent, you will likewise all be destroyed." So today with Christianity, they want to have people, you know, they want to have these meetings. You know, we had a meeting here in Nigeria. We had a meeting here in Africa, you know, and a million people came to faith in one night. What are they talking about? They're talking about somebody filled a little card out, you know, that they went to this meeting. But that is not repentance. Repentance, again, is a turn. It's a change. It's a change from sinning. And sinning is the breaking of Yahweh's Torah. So it's a change of going back. It brings a change of direction, right? It's a change of direction. Yahweh tells us there is something we must do before he will apply the sacrifice of his son to pay the penalty of our sins. We must demonstrate that we no longer wish to continue in the way of life that leads to death. We do so by changing our way of living. That directional change is repentance. Like I said, you destroy the path for the house, you leave nothing to go back to. Actions and deeds that are contrary to Yahweh's law or Torah are sin. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the breaking of the Torah. Everyone practicing sin also practice lawlessness, and sin is the breaking of the Torah. Very clear. To repent of sin then simply means to change. We turn from the way of self-indulgence and get to the way of give. We turn from selfishness to selflessness. We turn from our own way to Yahweh's way. When we begin to demonstrate our heartfelt desire to change and ask Yahweh to forgive our past way of life, he applies the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah on our behalf. We are then forgiven and freed from the guilt penalty in our past sins. The penalty of death no longer hangs over our heads because the penalty is paid for. Hebrews 9:14 says, "By how much more the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to Yahweh, will purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And you have to accept it. You have to accept Yahweh's grace when you come to faith. There's sometimes where people do not want to forgive themselves. There could be horrendous sins that happen. Even a murder maybe somebody did or whatever. But it doesn't matter what the sin is. The sacrifice that paid the penalty is greater than any sin. So when you think about the sacrifice that Yahweh made to send his only son to this earth, to live a life as a human being for 30 some odd years, to suffer, to get sick, to go through all human tendencies, to be hungry and tired, and then suffer a terrible death and crucifixion, scourging and beating, that penalty, which it says in Hebrews 10 is in perpetuity, we have to understand that the sacrifice that he made is greater than any sin. What sin can be above the sacrifice of the Son of Yahweh? Absolutely nothing. So, how does Yahweh look at a human being before conversion? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable." Some translations say desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what's interesting is there's times where you'll meet people and they'll tell you that they're doing something because of their heart. You know, well, I'm going by my heart. And even a lot of people say that, well, just go by your heart. And yet the Bible says the heart is deceitful, right? Because the heart deals with emotion. The heart deals with emotion, and Satan is a master at manipulating people's emotions, right? So there was a Barry Manilow song years ago called "I Write the Songs," which is satanically inspired. If you look at that song, you look at the lyrics of that song. "I've been around forever, and I wrote the very first song." You know, Ezekiel 28 says Satan was the first musician, right? And "I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs, I write the songs." If you listen to those lyrics, they're absolutely evil. Because why? Because songs change people's hearts. And that's what Satan does through music. And not only music, he does it through a lot of different things. But music will change somebody's emotions. They'll change their feelings. And that's why we need to be emotionally mature. But the heart is deceitful. So he can play on your heart, right? You know, that's what happens. That somebody will come and they'll sin, but they'll give you this reason. And they, well, it was for this reason. And oh, my whole life I've been suffering. And you know, I never had anyone love me. And, you know, this happened when I was little and my teacher was bad at me. But the person was stealing. He was lying. He was doing whatever. So the background of that person, you could feel bad that the person went through things in their background, but it doesn't justify the sin. So repentance can only come if we realize that our heart is deceitful. And if you allow Satan to manipulate your heart instead of letting the Torah of Yahweh give you the justice that should be coming from that, then you're never going to get to true repentance. Because Romans 8 and verse 7 says, "Because the mind of the flesh is enmity," it's hatred toward Yahweh. "It is not subject to the Torah of Yahweh, for it is not possible to be so." So as long as someone is in the flesh without the spirit of Yahweh, it's hatred. You can understand why they're saying that law is nailed to a cross, because they hate it. Because the human nature, which is manipulated by Satan since Adam and Eve, is against the spirit of Yahweh. Human nature, the corrupted human nature, is against the spirit of Yahweh. In Romans, the next verse there. "And those being in the flesh are not able to please Yahweh." All right? Because what are the cardinal physical traits of the flesh? Let's go down to Galatians 5 in verse 19. Traits of the flesh. "The works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalry, stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and things the like, of which I tell you before, and I said before, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh." So it's really interesting that when you look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, these are things we have to work on. Why? Because our human nature doesn't automatically do those things. It's against our nature to love and have joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and all these things. But you know what? It's not against your nature to do all these things. The works of the flesh, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be taught it. You know, people that are non-religious, like they don't go to a seminar to learn how to be an adulterer or have impurity or lustfulness or rivalry or stubbornness. Or you don't have to be taught that. Your human nature has it automatically. All you have to do is get up in the morning and your human nature, you're born with these things. And again, depending on your background, because we are creatures of habit, depending on your background, you'll have more of these or less of these. And this is the problem. Some people that maybe were brought up in a fairly decent home and they were brought up with a certain amount of morality, they actually think they're good. And that's why sometimes the hardest people to come to faith and really repent are some people that really never had real bad things in their life. And look at Yeshua. What did he say? He came to call the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Why them? That's what they said. Why are you with tax collectors and prostitutes? Why are you with sinners? And what was his answer? Because the sick need a doctor, not the well. Right? And he said, they go in the kingdom of Yahweh before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because those people who were sinners could understand that their human nature was corrupted and they could repent. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Just like the Pharisee and the tax collector, and he's there praying and saying, he fasts twice in a week and he gives all his tithe, and he's not like this evil tax collector. And what did Yahweh say? The tax collector, who wouldn't even lift his head up to heaven, but smote his breast and said, please, Father, forgive me, a sinner. And the tax collector went home justified before the Pharisee, because we have to understand how corrupt our nature is if we're going to have Yahweh forgive it. It's that simple. So these attitudes that we have, they come from the prince of the power of the airwave. And that's why I'm not just making suggestions when I say stay off social media, watch the internet, limit your time on the internet and videos and all these things, because the prince of the power of the airwaves, Satan himself, is the one that's promoting all of these tendencies of the flesh through all those things, through the media, you know, through radio, through television, through DVDs, through internet, through all of it. You know, that's what he's doing. So this is where the attitudes are coming from. The attitudes are coming from there. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3 says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience, in those very deeds in which we also were corrupted from the very beginning through the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. And in one way, we are no different than animals. We are instinctive than animals. There is one big difference, that an animal does not have the spirit of Yahweh, right? So we do have the spirit of Yahweh, where we can reason and we can love and we can make decisions. So we are different in that way. We're not totally just like an animal, but we are like animals in a way. We are instinctive, and people are instinctive just like animals. And if you do the same thing over and over again, it instinctively goes in your mind, good or bad. So this is why the prince of the power of the air knows your weaknesses, and he will use those weaknesses by bringing them into your life through any means that he could. You know, like I said, started with radio and then TV, movies. Now with internet, he can do it 24/7. Every single human being, almost, I shouldn't say every single human being, but a lot of them, because we don't have those iPods, 24/7. They're walking around with that internet connected to their head, and that's just about it. So the prince of the power of the air can get them 24/7. And that's the way people are not repenting, because they're stuck in that mode that Satan does it. So Satan works in people by broadcasting his attitudes in their minds. The devil has used modern technology, and more specifically, radio, TV, and the internet. He broadcasts attitudes of pride, vanity, selfishness, greed, covetousness, lust, jealousy, criticism, envy, resentment, hatred, animosity, bitterness, and rebellion, which our minds receive perhaps somewhat like a radio receives electromagnetic signals emitted by radio transmitters. These attitudes are Satan in the human mind, or what we have to call human nature. So in reality, it's Satan's nature, which he broadcasts to our mind and we express in various ways. And that's why instead of being on an iPhone or the internet and all these things all day, we should be in the Word. We should be in our Bibles. And then Yahweh's Spirit will be broadcasting to us all day from that. But no person is compelled to respond to these attitudes and impulses by Satan. The devil has no power to force anyone to think or to do wrong. The problem is that he is the god or the authority of this world system, and most love that system too much to repent, come out of it, and be sanctified. So that's a big problem. So when people are repenting, like I said, they're not just repenting of a certain deed. It's a total change of life. And I see it. I see that, you know, the first commandment, you shall not have any Elohim before me. And I say, it can be coffee, it could be tea, it could be anything. Anything that you're addicted to that you have to have is an Elohim before Yahweh, and you have to get rid of it. And I see, even like I said, in some third world countries, that there's people that cannot go a few minutes without that dumb iPhone. You know, even elders I see. I see in services. I'm sitting there in services and I'm giving a sermon, and I see elders there on that stupid phone. It's an addiction that they just can't get rid of. And it's idolatry. It's idolatry. So it should show us when we see it, what is the idolatry in my life? What am I addicted to? You know, what's the idolatry that I'm allowing Satan to broadcast in my life? Because if you don't understand this, you'll never truly repent. You know, you could see it in other people, but you won't be able to see it in your life, yourself, and you'll never truly repent. So nevertheless, unsuspecting humans automatically do so without realizing what is taking place in their minds. Most people just drift along habitually responding to Satan's promptings, right? So, like I say, we're creatures of habit, but we also have free will. So where an animal doesn't have a choice, he's instinctive, he's going to do the same thing because that's the way Yahweh made him. But we are instinctive, but that instinct has to be instilled in us, and we have free choice to change. That's what repentance is. The mind of man, under the influence of Satan's broadcasting, loves itself above all else. And that's why I say sometimes, maybe people were brought up in a fairly good house. They might have had good parents, and they went to a good school, never had real problems, and they can't see how evil they are. But every human being on this planet, above all else, is selfish. And this is a fact. That the greatest will, because there's a lot of wills we have as human beings, is the will to survive. And there's story after stories of what people would do to survive. You know, when there's been plane crashes out where there's snow and, you know, eating people and all this other stuff. But you have no idea until you're in that situation what you would do to survive. But we see it. That is the greatest will, is the will to survive, because people are selfish. And you don't realize how selfish you are. Because it's a pattern and you're doing it over and over and over again. But if you really want to repent, that's the key of it, is you have to repent for how selfish you are. You know, how much you've put yourself above everything else. So next to self, we love anything that belongs to us. We make our own little kingdoms. And that's why people, they'll love their children or, you know, their family. And sometimes it's not even that they really love their children or family. They only love them because they're an extension of them. So it's not even really love. It's just this sick selfishness that it's connected to them. You know, and I've seen this before sometimes where, you know, like somebody will criticize their child over and over and over again, even publicly. And then when somebody else would say the littlest bit of criticism, the parent would say, no, they're not like that. Because as long as they're doing the criticizing, it's fine. But if someone else did the criticizing, then that wouldn't be good. But it is true that all human beings are selfish. So unless we deal with that, you're not going to repent. And anything that belongs to yourself, material possessions, concepts, that's why sometimes it's hard for people that are part of religious organizations like Catholicism to repent. Because it's selfishness. It's a part of them. You know, I'm born a Catholic, I'm going to die a Catholic. Like they can't repent because it's a part of them. It's something connected to them. And they can't admit that they were wrong in that way. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they think they're good, yet none of us are good except Elohim. Matthew 19:17 says, and he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Yahweh. But if you desire to enter life, keep the commandments, right? Because he is the only being that's always has pure motives. You know, that's it. That Yahweh's way, Yahweh's Torah, which are his motives, are always pure. There's nothing impure about his motives. And the only way we can become good is by becoming like him through his spirit. Letting his spirit grow in us, denying our human nature, right? Submitting our free will back to Yahweh in his spirit and following him. That's the only way. And that's why I say, wow, is it dangerous to be out on your own? It is the most selfish, dangerous thing for a believer not to want to be under headship. And this thing of, I'll never follow men. Wow. Talk about a non-repentant spirit. What is that person saying? When somebody says, I'll never follow a man, you know what they're saying? They're saying, I will never repent. I am my own God. I am my own kingdom. And I'm not following anyone but me. They're certainly not following Yahweh, because Yahweh put men as leaders, starting with Adam, who failed. But Abraham was a leader, and Noah was a leader, and Moses was a leader, and all of the prophets were leaders, and the apostles were leaders, and Joshua was a leader. All these people were leaders. Yahweh, a matter of fact, you'll never find a time in the Bible where Yahweh didn't put leaders. No, even during the time of the judges, where there wasn't a king, there was always a Samson, there was always a judge, a Gideon, somebody that was there that was a leader. So somebody who says, I'll never follow a man, wow, you know what he's really saying? He's actually saying that he's his own God. He's actually saying, I'll never repent. Somebody who says that has never repented. Because when you humble yourself and you see how pathetically inadequate you are following your own way, wow, the only answer is I want to follow anyone that Yahweh can give me to follow. When I was a young believer, I'm 36 years in this walk, boy, did I look for mentors. I looked for elders and deacons and other men and even women in the faith that I admired, and I saw how good they were at being, you know, whatever they were, being mothers and fathers and pastors. And I looked for that. I wanted to follow people that were doing it better than me because I was a young believer. So, you know, there's an expression, you know, every man is my teacher that I may learn from him. So never mind not following a man. We should be following everyone in that sense. In a way, the good examples, and if someone's a bad example, then you want to use that as an example not to follow. But to not follow anyone but yourself is the epitome of repentance. It's the total opposite of repentance, and it just shows an unrepentant heart. If we truly want to repent and please Yahweh, we must realize that apart from his spirit, even when we think we do good, we are but sinners. That apart from Yahweh, any good that may even appear to come from us is only humanistic and self-righteousness. So there's times where maybe we're helping or we're giving, and a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it because we want to be recognized, or we're doing it because we want to feel good about ourselves. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we really have to come to understand this if we're going to come to true repentance, right? Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as the unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as a menstruation cloth, and we all fade as a leaf, and like the wind, our iniquities take it away. So wow. So that's the way Yahweh says, all of our self-righteousness put together, you know, poetically, he puts us as a menstruation cloth. So that should just about tell us about how much righteousness we have apart from him. If we truly want to repent, we must not only repent from what we did, but we have to repent for who we are. When we are being baptized into the family of Yahweh, we are literally going from sons of the flesh, sons of Satan, to sons of light or spirit Yahweh. What did Yeshua say we are to become like if we expect to enter the kingdom, right? Matthew 18, 2 to 4, and having called forward a little child, Yeshua set him in their midst, and he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as the little children, not at all can you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then whoever will humble himself as this little child will be the greater in the kingdom of heaven. So what do we see? We see that little children do not exhibit the tendencies of human nature to the same extent. They have them, right? Because like I said, even a baby that could be 2 or 3 months old there, and that baby isn't sitting there thinking, wow, boy, I am so thankful to mom that she had me. She held me in her stomach for 9 months. She went through all this stuff. You know, she's not sleeping at night. Let me be quiet tonight. It's kind of like, I haven't had milk in 3 hours. Wah! Wah! And that's it. That's like that baby is just, you know, milk or scream my lungs out, one or the other. So even from birth, we have human nature, but it's not the same in children. Children don't have it the same way because there's a little bit different than they have than adults. Children are basically humble and teachable and forgiving. And that's the difference. That a child will forget. Not like humans that hold these things on. Like I said, I've met people that you talk to them and it's like they're telling you about this elder who did them wrong or this and that. And you would think it happened a week ago. And it's like, oh, when did that happen? 30 years ago. 30 years ago. And you're telling that story as if it happened yesterday. Still smoke coming out of their ears. And children, you don't see this. Children are humble, they're teachable, and they're forgiving. So depending on where you go from a child, that's where you're going to go from an adult. Nevertheless, very early in life, the attitudes of Satan begin to make inroads in our minds. We gradually begin to exhibit varying degrees of hostility and defiance toward authority. And this is what happens when children get to be around 10, 12, 13 years old. Then all of a sudden, because they're developing and their mind is growing and they're maturing, but then all of a sudden they're thinking at 12 years old, they know more than their parents and they don't have to be told what to do and they're going to do it their way. And it's their human nature. It's Satan broadcasting this to them and they have to fight it. They have to fight it the same way we do as adults. We begin to resent being told what to do. We begin to be subject to the whims that sprang from the desires of our flesh. Our thoughts begin to be concerned with I and my and me and my feelings and how I feel. As a result of the influence of Satan's broadcasting, we all have fostered and harbored these wrong attitudes to greater or lesser degrees. And that is why Yahweh inspired the Apostle Paul to say, you know, that no one is righteous, none that one. There is no one that's doing right. So stop for a moment, in contrast, the natural mind of a human being with that of Elohim. Yahweh is not preoccupied with self. He's filled with outflowing love. He loves all people. Rather than take from them, he wants to give them blessings out of his great love and concern for humanity. He's not hostile, defiant, rebellious, resentful, or selfish. Elohim wants all of us to eventually become like him. Therefore, he wants us to turn from and strive to overcome the devil's influence, evil influence, on our thinking and actions. This is essentially what repentance is all about, right? Nowhere in the Bible does Yahweh say it is wrong to have a proper love for self, right? He says this in Ephesians 5:29. For then no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even also as our master does to the congregation. We are told to love others as much as we love ourselves. So it's not wrong to love yourself, right? Because no one will hate themselves. But we have to love others as much as us. What we have to do is we have to see that our self-worth is not above somebody else's self-worth. And that's what selfishness is. That's all pride is. Pride is a false self-worth. It's where, okay, there's five of us here. There's only enough food for four. Well, I wonder which one of those four will starve to death. You know, it's like, no, because you're thinking you certainly wouldn't starve to death because you're above other people. And it's pride. It's giving yourself a false self-worth. To Yahweh, all of us, there might not be equal authority or equal judicial order, but there certainly is equal self-worth. We are all worth the same to him. It is only when we love ourselves beyond the necessary self-concern and at the expense of others that it becomes sin. So that's what we see. When Adam and Eve doubted Yahweh, what happened? They doubted Yahweh because they put more love for self above him, and then they wound up sinning in Genesis, the third chapter. But like we always say, Hebrews 11:6, faith is simply believing in the promises of Yahweh. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. So that was the whole thing with Adam and Eve. It was a lack of faith, a lack of belief. Can you imagine that we can believe in ourselves? People will believe in themselves to the death, but then we doubt Yahweh. We doubt his promises. We doubt he's going to care for us. We doubt he'll take care of us when we're sick. That's why we want to run to a doctor before we want to get anointed by an elder, right? in calamity, people are scared to death. You know, that something's going to happen here. You're going to get, I won't have food. I won't have this. And yet it's putting more stress and more love on self than on Yahweh, which you'll never repent if you're doing that. It just will not happen. So we want to make sure that faith is first, and then that helps. So Yeshua died so that each of us can live. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And we have to turn from our way of life, surrender the life that was given to us in our free will, and give it back to Yahweh. And now Yeshua, after baptism and laying on hands by an elder, he'll be living inside of you, and now you will live for him. You will live for him. Joel 2 in verse 12 and 13, it says, "Yet even now turn to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and with wailing, declares Yahweh. Tear your heart and not your robes and turn to Yahweh your Elohim. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he pities concerning the evil." So there's never a time where Yahweh will not forgive us, but there is a time, if you continue to stay in sin, where you won't even see it's wrong anymore. And I've seen this happen. It's sad to see that somebody gets in trouble and then they're telling you right off the bat how they know they're wrong. They know they need to repent. They don't know how to do it. And then they don't repent. And then as time goes on, all of a sudden they're not wrong anymore. Now you're wrong. Now somebody else is wrong. Now they're blaming somebody else and they don't even see their sin anymore. And that's the scary part if we don't repent. But all Yahweh wants is us to turn to him and not tear our robes, but to tear our heart and turn back to him. Psalm 34:18, Yahweh is near to the broken of heart and he saves the crushed of spirit. So there has to be a point where you hit rock bottom. There has to be a point where you're seeing your decrepitness as a human being, and you're not just saying the words, but you're really believing it. And where our self-worth should come from Yahweh's spirit and Yahweh being in us, not anything of ourself. But it should be, there should be this confidence we have because of his spirit, because he can do it. I can't do it, but I have confidence because I know his spirit is living in me. So the confidence is in him, not myself. Psalm 51 in verse 4. Against you, you only, talking to Yahweh, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, right? Against you and you only, I have done evil. I have sinned and done evil in your eyes. So to repent means to be so humbled and broken up at the thought of having rebelled against the living, holy Creator, so abhorrent of our deceitfulness, vanity, and selfishness, that in real sorrow we turn to Yahweh for mercy, forgiveness, and the help we so desperately need in order to overcome and develop his righteous character. Look at Job. Remember the book of Job? And it's a really interesting book, you know, the oldest book in the Bible, 42 chapters, you know, because Job actually was a good guy, basically, you know. He was a righteous guy. The problem was he also was self-righteous. He saw himself as too good. He was one of these people, like I said, that couldn't see how abhorrent his human nature was. So how can he ever repent? But look what he says at the end when Yahweh showed him. Chapter 42 of Job in verse 6, he says, "Therefore I despise myself, and I have repented on dust and ashes." Once he saw himself for what he really was, you know, just his human nature, being as evil as anybody else, looking out for himself, blaming Yahweh for his problems that came. That's what he said. "Therefore I despise myself, and I repented on dust and ashes." So if we want real repentance, this is where it's going to have to come from. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you abuse the riches of his kindness and forbearance and the opportunity he is giving you, not knowing that the kindness of Yahweh leads you to repentance?" So repentance is something you have to pray for, you have to ask for, you don't work it up. That it's a gift from Yahweh, even the fact of having repentance. And that's why I say sometimes the people with their unconverted relatives, that they think like by telling them the truth, or they think that by sharing the truth with them, all of a sudden the light's going to go off and they're going to say, "Ah, okay, now I finally understand. Yeah, you're right, you're right. Saturday's the Sabbath, not Sunday." It doesn't work that way. Repentance is a gift from Yahweh. So that's why you look in the world today, and this is why 999 out of 1,000 people aren't going to repent because they don't see the need for repentance. They don't even believe in Yahweh, so there's no faith there. They hope there's an Elohim in heaven because they know they're going to die, and they just hope it's better than the alternative of having nothing. But it's not real faith. It's not real belief, because real belief brings action. And if they had real belief, they would repent because they would realize what Yahweh is and what they are. And that's a gift from Yahweh. It can only come from Him. Because to a prideful, arrogant human being that thinks he's right in everything, how on earth would he ever come to true repentance unless it was given by Yahweh, by that gift? So we have to ask Yahweh for it. Repentance is a gift from Yahweh. And to truly have a convicted heart of our sinful nature, we must pray to Him and ask Him for that repentant heart. Most in this world are so full of pride, they'll never humble themselves to ask Yahweh to show them how filthy they really are. We are living in a very humanistic society that wants to think of themselves as basically good. Only our Heavenly Father can give this heart of repentance. And Yeshua said, "No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So basically, human beings, they want to be good, but they don't want to do good. It's that simple. They want to be good. They want people to look at them as good, but they don't want to do the acts that have to come there. And it can only come by unconditional surrender to Yahweh. Unconditional surrender to Yahweh. Once we repent completely and surrender to Yahweh and are baptized, Yahweh puts a spirit into our minds. It then begins to influence our ways of thinking and living. But the Holy Spirit does not take away our free moral agency. We always still have the free will. That's why we have to surrender it back to Yahweh. It won't force us to do anything. It will only lead us in the direction of Yahweh's truth and give us the spiritual strength to do His will. Repentance simply means giving up your way and turning to Yahweh's way. It means surrender, unconditional surrender, to live by every word of Yahweh. Since the Bible is the word of Yahweh, it means to live by the Bible. It means utter voluntary submission to the authority of Yahweh as expressed in His word. He is our master, and we must put Him first in everything. So Matthew 10 and verse 37 to 39. The one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his torture stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life will lose it, and the one losing his life on account of me shall find it. So this is hard enough sometimes. We look at the example of Abraham. Wow, if we're honest with ourselves, how many people could go through that trial if Yahweh said, take your child, your only child, and kill it, So, but we know you can't put father, mother, sister, brother, anything before Yahweh. But at the end of the day, with most people, it's not putting father, mother, sister, brother. It's putting themselves. It's not for love, more love for their family member. It's for love of themselves. They don't want to put anything above themselves, including Yahweh. And that's what makes repentance so hard for this world today. Because repentance is surrendering to Yahweh. It's not a matter of giving up everything good. Repentance is positive because it's keeping you from the penalty of sin. Like I said, there's no penalty for obedience. There's only penalty for sin, for disobedience. So you got to look, you have to reframe your mind to look at the word repentance to be something that's not taking something away from you. It is taking something away from you. It's taking death penalty away from you. But it's something that is making your life better. It's something that is giving more to your life. It's not taking away from your life. Yahweh only wants us to give up those things for us that are bad and that hurt us spiritually and physically. Repentance from dead works will only stop us from receiving further curses in our life for disobedience to our Heavenly Father and His Torah. And, the sins we've committed before repentance and also the sins after repentance. So again, Peter said that in Acts, repent and be baptized. But what happens after baptism? If you continue to sin, you just, like I said, the Christian world, the law is nailed to the cross. They claim, they accept Yeshua in their heart, but then there's no change of life. And that's what Hebrews 10:26 says, if we willfully sin after receiving the full knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice. Because then you're putting Yeshua on that torture stake day after day. There has to be a change in life. There has to be a change. You can't continue to do the same sins over and over and over again. So nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that once you come to faith, the law is nailed to a cross or anything else. Actually, it's the complete opposite. Romans 3:31 says, "Do we nullify the Torah by faith? Far be it, or Yahweh forbid. On the contrary, we establish the Torah." So by true repentance and true covenant relationship with Yahweh, now we understand that His Torah is His very character, and that character through His Spirit should be our character. And that's why we're establishing the Torah. Romans 2:13, "For not the hearers of the Torah are righteous with Yahweh, but the doers of the Torah are righteous before Him." So faith in the shed blood of Yeshua is the only way to have salvation and eternal life. But it is clear that true faith and repentance is only granted to those who truly repent and strive to be obedient to our Heavenly Father's Torah. So true repentance will bring a true change of life that will be evident to those around. And I say, it's the worst insult in the world someone can say to you is, "Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian or a believer." People say, "Oh, he said Christian. I'm not a Christian." Oh, come on. Somebody says, "I didn't know you were a Christian." They're saying, "I didn't know you believed in the Bible. I didn't know you were a disciple of Yeshua." It doesn't matter if they have the right name or wrong name. They're insulting you because they're saying, "I don't see any difference from you to the next guy on the street there." And people should see a difference in our life. Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of Yahweh, so also we shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with Him in the likeness of His death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. But if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For in that he died to sin once for all, but that he lives to Yahweh. So also you count yourself to be truly dead to sin, but alive to Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah, our Master. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body," right? So sin is not going to reign in you. You have to, you repented of sin. You destroyed the path to the house. You leave nothing to go back for. So whatever it was that before was in your life, it doesn't matter whether you were committing fornication or you were lying or you were stealing or you were doing whatever, illegal drugs. You have to repent. You have to change from it. You have to change from it. Yahweh's law or Torah is the way of peace, happiness, and joy. It's a perfect given law given by Yahweh to mankind to make him happy, to lead him into abundant life for all eternity. So this is what Yahweh is looking for. And when Yeshua came, Mark 1 in verse 14 and 15, when Yeshua came to the earth, what did he say? "And after John was delivered up, Yeshua came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of Yahweh. And he said, the time is complete and the kingdom of Yahweh has arrived. Repent and believe in the good news." Repent and believe in the good news. So that is the message. The message is about the kingdom of Yahweh, but then it's also how to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And the way we enter that kingdom is by repenting of our sins, by changing our life where Satan is the authority of this world and making it where now Yahweh is the authority in our life. If you go to Acts 17, and the Apostle Paul is sharing with them who the true Elohim is. And in verse 30, he says, "Truly then, Elohim, overlooking the times of this ignorant, but now strictly commands all men everywhere to repent." So that's what it's about. That literally he is, it says in another scripture, that he is turning us from the authority of Satan to the authority of Yahweh. That's what repentance is about. It's about literally going from Satan's kingdom, which is the world around you, the world you see, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. So the kingdom you see around you is the kingdom of Satan, with the internet and social media and all of these evil things that are out there, the concerts, the sports games, all this evil stuff. This is all part of the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the flesh. But the kingdom of faith is the one we don't see. That's the one that we walk by the nine fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, mercy. And literally, when Yahweh's Spirit is living in you, you are living in the kingdom of Yahweh daily. And that's why we need to leave Satan's kingdom and not be doing the things of Satan's kingdom. We need to be repenting and turning from that and have a mindset. That's why I say it's a reality, but it's also a mentality. And you have to live in that mentality of the kingdom of Yahweh every single day. And the end time, because like I said, some people say, oh, you only repent once. But in the end time, we look in Revelation 2 and 3, right, to the seven churches. These are historical churches. My book goes over this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Anybody would like it, please write us for a copy or download it online. But also, these are seven end time churches. And what does it say to five of the seven churches? Revelation 2, 5. Then remember where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. If not, I am coming to you quickly and will remove your menorah from its place unless you repent. Verse 16, repent. But if you do not, I am come quickly and I will make war with them by the sword of my mouth. Revelation 2, 21 to 23. And I gave her time that she might repent of her fornication, and she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her in a coffin. And then he goes on. Revelation 3:3. Then remember how you received and heard and keep and repent. If then you do not watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not at all know that what hour I come upon you. And wow, we're seeing a lot of stuff in world events that are to the world. This is all coming unaware, and they're not realizing we are going in these last few years into the kingdom of Yahweh. Revelation 3 and verse 19 to the Laodicean. And as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous and repent. So at the end of the day, this is what it's about. That to Yahweh's own people, judgment starts at the house of Yahweh. And if it starts with us, what will be to the unrepentant and the sinner? So this is where the baptism of fire is coming in. Because five of these seven congregations need to repent. And all of us are part of it. The Smyrna are the martyrs, you know, so they're giving their life for Yeshua. And the Philadelphian one is what's coming from the other ones. So the Philadelphian is just being formed. It's not even there yet. It's just being formed. So all of us, if we want to be a Philadelphian, we need to repent of what we're doing. And we need to turn back to his way. So this is the warning that Yeshua is giving in the end times. We must start to ask not only the question, what I am doing sin? But is it holy? In these end times, so much of what we consider normal in our life is an abomination to Yahweh. So we have to ask that. So many things people do normal in their life is abomination to Yahweh. If we are no different than the world, then we've not repented and changed. And I was shocked years ago when we were in Israel to see the Orthodox, people that are supposed to be very religious, and they allow smoking. You know, when everyone knows, whether you're Jewish or Christian or a believer or a messianic or whatever, everybody knows that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why on earth would you put cigarette smoke into your body and defile it and corrupt it? And yet many, many Orthodox and Jews smoke cigarettes. So this is why I say you have to ask not only is it sin, you have to ask is it holy? Is it holy? If we're no different than the world, then we have not repented and we haven't changed. John, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. I'm going to be done here in a few minutes, so I want to continue. I know we're a little bit over the hour mark, but like I said, if I'm only 5 or 10 minutes over, I want to finish it in one lesson. So 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So this is where you shouldn't want to do those things anymore. You know, you shouldn't want to be the carousings and the partying and the bad movies and all these evil things that the world does. The Spirit of Yahweh should hate those things. You shouldn't even want those things or want to do them. So if you're loving the world, and like I say, a big part of it is that internet and the iPhones and the social media, man, you got to start thinking to yourself, who are you serving? You know, who are you serving? Which Elohim are you serving, Satan or Yahweh? In these last days before Yahweh's kingdom is set out, we must strive at all costs against any unrighteousness that's in our lives and ask Yahweh daily to forgive us where we fail. Right? So in the Master's Prayer, what does he say? Forgive us our offenses as we forgive those who have offended us. And this is the last point I'm going to make before we end here, is that it's amazing that believers, I'll talk to believers, and sometimes going through a problem, and a believer will not forgive somebody else. They will not show forgiveness. And yet, it clearly says that if we don't forgive somebody else, then we're not forgiven. Matthew 18 and verse 21. And this is where Yeshua's... Peter's asking, how many times do I forgive my brother, right? And Yeshua says 77 times 77. And then he goes into a... He goes into the story here with the man who owes a great amount. He owes $1 million, say, you know, to his boss, and he can't pay it, and he pleads with the boss, and the boss forgives him. Then somebody else owes him like a dollar, and he wants to put that person in prison. And then what happens? The boss comes and says, you evil person, you had this big debt that I forgave, and this other person had this little debt, and you wouldn't forgive them. And then he says, you're going to go into prison and pay the last penny. And when we don't show forgiveness to others, what we're saying is our debt isn't that big. We're not seeing that we owe the $1 million debt and the person who offended us only owes the dollar. We're looking at the other way around. And, okay, Yahweh forgave us a dollar, but this person offended us the $1 million. But it's very clear that verse 35 of Matthew 18, so also my heavenly Father will do to you unless each of you from your heart forgive his brother their offenses. And at the end of the day, you know what? And I want to give a sermon on forgiveness at Pesach, Yahweh willing. When you forgive, you're helping yourself more than the other person. Because, you know, who is the judge of everything? On Judgment Day, no one's standing before you on Judgment Day. Everyone is standing before Yeshua and Yahweh on Judgment Day. So when you forgive someone, you're not letting them off the hook. You're simply giving judgment up to Yahweh. But if you don't do that, then your sins will not be forgiven. So we have to forgive from the heart, and then we have to trust. This gets back to faith. We have the faith that if that person did not repent, and he did do evil, that Yahweh will judge him on Judgment Day. That's another part that faith comes in. So very, very clearly, if we don't forgive others, we will not be forgiven. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. So we want to also, the last thing, beware of false repentance, right? 1 John 2:2-5, I won't go there, but very clearly, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who says he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and there's no truth in him. So if we really are in covenant relationship, we want to make sure we're repenting. We don't want to have a false repentance where Yeshua said in Mark 7:7-9, they worship me in vain, teaching the doctrines of the commandments of men. For forsaking the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men, washing of utensils and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, well, do you set aside the commandment of Yahweh that you may establish your own tradition? Unfortunately, a lot of people, some even within Yahweh's congregation, but in all kinds of messianic groups, it could be a sacred name group, a Sabbath keeping groups, a lot of people just look at it as another religion. And they want power. They want leadership. They want whatever. They want, and they're looking at it as just another false religion. And it's a false repentance. Because they're really not repenting to Yahweh and changing from their life. They're simply making surface changes because they want to. Unfortunately, we've had it in our congregation. Even some that... for 1-2 years, they faked, they acted a certain way to get ordained, and the minute they got ordained, they flew off and went on their own in a different direction. But you can't kid Yahweh. It's the same with baptism. That's why I say, you don't need me to lay hands on you. You don't need me to put you into water, because Yahweh gives his spirit. And you could trick me. You know, I don't know if you've really repented, and I will. I'll put you in the water. I'll pray over you. But if you haven't repented, you know what? You're simply getting wet. Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to trick Yahweh. He's not going to give you his spirit. It's the same with somebody who can trick an elder for a short period of time to get ordained, but that's not a real elder of Yahweh, because it's not fulfilling the job there. But a cardinal man would rather do almost anything else than surrender himself to Yahweh. His natural mind, remember Jeremiah 17:9, is rebels against the thought of submitting to Yahweh's Torah. In Messiah's day, the hypocritical religionists substituted their own laws and traditions in place of Yahweh's laws. Since then, men have declared that Yahweh's commandments are null and void, deceiving themselves by thinking they can receive salvation by merely believing in the sinless Messiah as their Savior with no change in their life. Human nature wants to be right, but doesn't necessarily want to do right. So people will often say, well, here's the way I look at it, thus putting their concept of righteousness above the Bible. Or so many people will say, well, that's your interpretation. I'll say, oh, have you ever read the Bible? No. It's just a way of them not wanting to take responsibility. But in these end times, people refuse to be obedient to Yahweh will be rejected at Yeshua's return. Matthew 7, the last scripture here, it will not be said that just everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works of power? And then I will declare to them, from everlasting I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. Elohim's eyes are upon those who are of a meek and contrite spirit, those who tremble before the two-edged sword of his word. Yahweh recognizes a repentant attitude, a humble, seeking individual for forgiveness and mercy. He will truly honor all those who turn from their evil works and deeds that his word defines as sin. True repentance requires permanent change of direction, is a total commitment to a course from which there is no turning back. It's not a temporary, spontaneous, emotional response to prevalent today in religious revival meetings. You have learned that it is something much deeper and vastly more profound. Let us strive to be faithful ones. Let us look into our hearts and let the word of Yahweh cut to our heart, and let us pray to our Heavenly Father to give us the spirit and heart of true repentance, that we may have white robes on Yeshua's return. So just summing up, points to remember. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's Torah, 1 John 3:4. The only way to have our sins forgiven is by the blood of Yeshua. Yahweh will not apply his son's blood to our sins without true repentance. And repentance is not just an emotional feeling, but it is a true change of life. So we do have messages online called Mind of Messiah and What is Real Change and What is True Repentance also. So you could listen to those sermons online if you would like to. But I pray that as Passover is coming here in just another month, that this will help us all to be looking in our hearts and seeing where change has to come. So until next week, Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.